I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Edition 18 for St. Lawrence, a road trip to play the Saints on Saturday, 1 o'clock. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
So obviously nothing went right, well, at least in the beginning of the game at RPI. Let's just talk about that first half. No yards or to speak of, no first downs, no points, no pass completions beyond the line of scrimmage. And I kept saying, okay, their defense is good, but nobody's defense is that good. What did you see down on the field in that first half?
Yeah, it was partly, and I'll take responsibility on that. We were very simple with the game plan early on, knowing that their defense had thrived on other teams making mistakes. So part of that was letting our offensive line kind of size up their fronts. They came in with a ton of takeaways, a ton of sacks, and we were trying to eliminate the negative play, knowing that we were trying to win the field position. And we had very convertible third down situations that we didn't convert. So I think when you look at it from an execution standpoint, we had opportunities for first downs, we had opportunities for plays, but it was more in the run game early on, knowing that we were then opening up and setting up some things in the passing game, which showed true in the second half. And part of it was we were getting into that passing game earlier on. Our quarterback receiver had the wrong mesh on the one interception in the first quarter. Didn't hurt us as much, but that was the one takeaway. And then there was the opportunities late in the second quarter. We were backed up where I was playing it a little bit closer to the vest just because I didn't want to have that negative play that unfortunately we resulted in that the fumbled snap that gave them the two. But their defense was good. There's no doubt about it. And I was more on myself knowing that our defense was playing well, and I was hoping that between our special teams and defense that we could come up with the first turnover takeaway to give us the short field. And if I was content to say at that point that if as long as we weren't making mistakes, I thought our offensive production would have been better. And if you look at it, we had some opportunities that we didn't convert on. And ultimately, the first half was kind of back and forth, pretty evenly played, other than the fact that we didn't convert on a couple situations we should have.
The run game was almost completely between the tackles without a lot of great success. Are there still injury issues? Do those guys just not have the quickness they did last year to get to the outside?
Not so much that. I mean, we were trying to run. Part of it is some of the zone plays, the running backs have the read of where it goes. And I think our offensive line was not they didn't perform as well as they needed to. And we made a couple adjustments, but it was really more just focusing on the technique to execute better, and we did that in the third quarter. But I think the running backs sometimes were cutting it up maybe a second or two before they should have, but it was also our offensive line did not have the game that we needed them to, and we were hoping that they would have in the first half.
In pass protection, I mean, you're one of the top teams in the country, as you were last year, in limiting sacks. What's the difference between good pass protection and inconsistent run blocking this year?
Well, I think it's choose your poison. You know, so we kept some of our guys in to have the extra hat to protect. We had quick timing throws. So it's like where you asked earlier, we weren't really attacking in the passing game. Part of that is preventing negative play. So, you know, when you play a really good defense, and again, I think we opened it up more in the second half, but it was also a combination of what we had set up in the first half. So there's every play stands on its own, but it also, you know, helps to kind of set up what those next plays are going to be as we use that first quarter. And honestly, that was the quarter we had a couple looks that we should have converted on that maybe could have gave us the earlier lead. But I thought our protection was sound. We were able to get some double teams on some of their key guys up front. And at the same time, I think the timing of the quarterback, releasing the ball was good. And he got us out of a couple potential negative plays with his feet or throwing the ball away. But they were, you asked about the runs on the perimeter. They were playing the perimeter pretty tight. So the answer was to slowly attack them in the middle. That's what we did against them last year. So I was also banking on the fact of having a lot of those guys back that we were more productive against them last year, just giving us a chance to see if they could go out and execute it. And at halftime, then we adjusted some things, partly schematically, and the other part was decision-making wise. But again, I thought we were, even though there wasn't a lot of momentum established we were right where we needed to be to win the game. And I said that's where it came down. The game plan to win against RPI and that defense was going to be different. We weren't going to go out and try to score 40 points. We were just trying to give our defense a lead, which we did in the third quarter, and then ultimately got it there early in the fourth quarter to a two-possession game. And that's the unfortunate part is we didn't close the way we needed to.
Take us through the safety late in the half. Boz comes in and the Wildcat, it looked to me like there was miscommunication in the snap count because the ball was snapped and it looked like nobody was expecting it.
Yeah, the center snapped it on the protection call, not on the cadence. Bad time for that to happen, especially backed up. But it was a snap that if it had come back and hit, you know, if it was an accurate snap, it would have hit our guy. It was kind of off to the right, which then unfortunately let it roll a little bit more. And just the fact that no one was going on that snap count, defense saw it and reacted by the time our guys were able to. And it was a bad play. There was no other way around it. That shouldn't have happened. But I also think that at the end of the day, fortunately, the special teams were able to flip the field around after the safety. Toby had a touchback on a kick after a safety, which is almost unheard of. So we at least able to get to half, because they had us pinned even the play before, the series before that where, we had a punt out of our own end zone. So that's where like that whole second quarter, once the wind, there were certain times where the wind was in your favor, sometimes it wasn't. We had to flip the field position. So right before half, that's where I was a little bit softer with the play calling, just making sure that we weren't going to, just give them a short field on offense. So the safety, wasn't what we had intended, and we actually had a really good look for the play. It's just, again, not having 11 guys on the same page took what would have been a really positive gain into a negative play and unfortunately put points on the board for them.
We've seen this all year long in games when the offense struggles. The defense just keeps making stops and saying, okay, guys, if you're not scoring yet, we're not going to let them score.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the game plan going in. I thought two really good defenses. I think early on in the first half, their offense was kind of tentative against us, and vice versa. We weren't overly aggressive. I think both teams were kind of waiting to see whose defense could come up with the first negative play that was going to be equal to a short field. So for those that love defense and the game plan there, I think it was a really well-played first half on both defenses. Each team came up with a couple stops, and ours came up with a couple takeaways when we needed to. And really a half, it was from a defensive standpoint, both teams had played pretty well in the first half.
What was the discussion at halftime? It's funny because if the game had been 21-19 at the half, you go, okay, we're right in at 2 points down. But when it's 2-0 and you haven't been moving the ball, it just has a different feel to it.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to, I think our players were dialed in on the game plan. I think the opportunities were going to be there. And I really look at it. If you watch some of the third downs that we had set up, we should have executed a couple more. So it didn't come down to – we knew going in that they were going to be a good defense. I think it came down to I thought we were going to do a better job executing up front, and covering up. So I thought a run game would have been able to be a little bit more productive, which we started to get going in the third quarter. And then the other part was knowing when the opportunity was to strike. And again, we were kind of setting up a couple things that we then, wanted to get to, and we got to them in the third quarter there. So I think the mindset of our guys were fine. I think they were, more the sense of pride was knowing that they weren't playing up to their ability on offense. And on defense, it was more, they started to get a little winded on defense, and that was partly because we weren't possessing the ball on the offense side of the ball. But I think the morale was fine. I think we all knew that. I think if you've played football enough to know, like, it's a 60-minute game, you got to play the full 60 minutes. And, obviously the first half is significant in terms of setting the stage, but the second half is where you win games and lose games, and we were where we wanted to be. Obviously we wanted to be more productive than we were, but we were right where we wanted to be, knowing that we could take the lead and advance the lead, and we did that. And I think that was the part that I was pleased with how our guys responded with the start of the third quarter.
I thought one of the biggest positives from that game was the pass coverage in the secondary. Abdoulaye Diallo just made a brilliant one-hand play tipping the ball away. He's one of the leaders now in the league in pass breakups, and you had great coverage. And when they tried to take downfield shots, they didn't have a lot of success with it.
Yeah, I think our coverage was solid. I think we matched up well. And I think that's where earlier in the year we talked about some of those teams that weren't thrown on us. We needed to see if our experience in the defensive backfield could help us out, and I think they've done well. I still think, you know, even in the pass situation, our defense played well, but there was some fundamental, you know, things that we gave away, gave up a couple zones. And again, you know, you look top down, I don't think they ran by us on the back end. You know, we pressured right there at the end when they got the last one, but, each corner, each safety could have played a little bit better, but I thought they played strong and solid. And I think our linebackers, played hard, but we also gave up some zones. And I think that's where, late in the game there, when we really got to then put the clamps on them and finish off the win, we gave them a couple easier conversions and let them move the ball a little bit quicker than we should have.
Let's talk about that wind. There was very little at the beginning of the game. Then it picked up really strong. But the way that stadium's built, you've got that building down to your left as you were looking at it from the sideline that's short on one end and taller on the other end. Was it a pretty steady left-to-right wind as you looked at it, or did it kind of swirl around?
It was substantial, and to the point where if you think about it, most of the touchdowns that were scored were going with the wind.
Yeah.
We scored the one early in the fourth quarter, but part of that was because of such a short field that throw that David threw to the as we were looking at our left corner there, he was able to kind of, you know, put it through the wind there a little bit. But yeah, when you looked at the kickoffs, the punts, and there was a couple times where even the returners, I mean, it was clearly flying over their head. So it was an important factor. Both teams had advantages with it, and then there was a couple times where I thought, you know, we had this, you know, crucial situation in the game where we had the punt that we were really going to flip the field position. Vicente crushed it and had a chance to pin them inside the 20. And then, unfortunately, we lost it and gave them a touchback. Still flipped the field position, but maybe that's a different situation. And there was just a couple key times when you're looking at those type of defensive games where field position can really make a difference. And I thought we did a good job with it, but we missed one or two opportunities to really flip it in our favor. But I thought Vicente and Toby, from a punting and kicking standpoint, did a really good job using that to our advantage when we were kicking with it.
Now, I'm still not 100% sure I understand this, so let me run through it. They win the toss and defer, so they get the choice in the second half. They take the ball. Do you then get the choice of wind? So did you choose to have the wind in the third rather than the fourth?
Absolutely. And that was my thinking coming out. So they won, they deferred. So then we now have the second half choice of which way we want to kick off. And I just thought with where we were at that point, I wanted to take the wind in the third quarter. And won for field position, knowing that we wanted to, again, attack and try to get the lead. And I thought it worked in our favor in that third quarter. And then even early in the fourth quarter, you kind of carry over the field position if you've done it right, establishing in the third quarter. So that was my intention, and that's why we made that decision.
David Crewson took advantage of that win in the third quarter with a great throw and great catch to Rain Darrell Mullen. I remember thinking at the time, if we'd had these guys all year, I know you don't take that excuse. I've offered it many times this year, but yeah. Boy, it would have been nice to see all those guys healthy all year.
Yeah, the third quarter throw was actually Alex Labella.
Rain
was the early in the fourth, but both those guys came up with some big catches. And again, that was the one we went in going in thinking there was a couple matchups that we thought we could take advantage of when we had the right opportunity. And you know, part of that came from good field position. We were running the ball a little bit more, forced their safeties up, and we got the one-on-one coverage on the outside. And it's interesting because we spent last week, and we stopped even on Thursday, talking about the receivers attacking the ball in the air, knowing that we had a height advantage against their field corner. And it was done exactly what we talked about in terms of the ball placement. So it starts with the protection. The protection was solid. David made the right read and the location of the ball, and then Alex went up and got it. And that was what we talked about when we watched the film on Sunday, was carrying over the coaching points of how the game plan and how we want to attack them, but more importantly, how they executed it. And if you look at the third quarter, we were a completely different offense than we were in the first half, and it wasn't much different other than the execution was higher. And that's the frustrating part for us as an offensive staff, is just knowing that we knew it was a good defense, but I thought we allowed them to maybe dictate a little bit more in the first half, more because of how we were executing more than what the play calling was.
You got the two scores to go up 13-2. What were you thinking at that point in terms of defense, and what did you tell the guys about, here's what we need to do to bring this home?
Yeah, the score early in the fourth quarter, getting into the two, and we looked at it as now it's a two-possession game. Still had ample time, and at no point did we let the foot off the gas or anything like that. It was just a matter of We knew we had the wind in our face at that point, trying to shorten the game, so a little bit more run than the pass. And I thought there was the really big series was when we we had the punt return. There was a block in the back, which pushed it back even more. And we had two plays on offense that should have executed to get us a first down, and we didn't. And then all of a sudden, we had to punt into the wind. Vicente, we punted it pretty well, kind of got held up, and we gave a short field up. And that's where our defense, we couldn't give up the quick big play, and that's exactly what happened. So not only did they score, but they scored quickly, didn't take much time off the clock. And we knew that, at home and RPI, I mean, that's just the nature. They've always played close games. Their defense is always going to keep them in games. So it's not like they've ever had a situation I can remember. I think back to maybe when we played them in 2019 where we really pulled away from them. They're usually pretty close games at their place. And so we knew it was going to be a dogfight all the way for 60 minutes. And it came down to, unfortunately, some undiscipline. There was a couple really unfortunate penalties at the wrong time that hurt us. A little bit of lack of execution from what was called. And then, honestly, and that was on offense and defense. We had some guys, upperclassmen, in situations that had been making plays up through to that point that hadn't and missed opportunities. And, that's where if we're going to be a championship team, we got to be able to finish that game off. And it just shows that we talked about it with our guys. It's the little things. The details right now is what's holding us back from reaching our full potential. And, we thought that was a good team that we could have beaten on the road and we closed it out, and we didn't. So I put that back on us as much as, RPI is a really strong team. If we're a championship team, will we find a way to win that game?
RPI came into that game very poor in pass protection. You blitzed a lot for most of the game. Peterson Menexent was on the line almost the entire game. On the final series, though, you didn't blitz much. Was that because you'd only gotten the one sack? Did you just feel like the big blitz wasn't working and you'd be better off playing coverage on that drive?
Yeah, I think Coach Green and the defensive staff felt at that point they wanted to play a little bit more coverage. I try not to dictate and say what we have to do or whatnot, but I agree. I thought there were some opportunities. Maybe we could have mixed it up a little bit more. I thought what we allowed them to do is allow that quarterback to feel comfortable back there. And again, the reality is, and I put it back on us, they shouldn't have gotten the ball back. We had a really poor penalty on offense that would have, we would have had the first down and potentially could have either killed the clock or, really shortened that game down even more. So I think that that's where my focus was. And my whole focus at that point was really talking to the offense, being prepared for a couple scenarios of do we get the ball back with a lead and how we kill the clock at that point. Or, worst case scenario, if they go down and score, then have a plan to be able to come back and score. So, I was there helping a little bit with the defense, but not dictating what they were calling. And there was a couple third down conversions where our guys were undisciplined. We were in the wrong spots in the wrong zones. So as much as it was, our fronts and protections, our fronts and our blitzes, we're disrupting more the run than the pass at that point early on because they were trying to run the ball. And I think that we had some opportunities where we had guys in coverage that should have, taken away some zones that they were hitting. And I think that was the worst part about it is not so much that the rush wasn't getting there, is that our coverage kind of left a couple gaps open that they were able to hit and really move it down there quicker than they should have. A couple chunk plays, not like 30 and 40 yarder plays, but those 15 to 20 yard plays instead of really making them earn it. And there was two third downs where both times we had the guys in the right spots and we didn't make the play.
You lost containment on the quarterback a couple of times at big spots, and that's going to be big this week because St. Lawrence has a pretty good running quarterback.
Yeah, and that's one of our knocks right now. Our defensive line, we're not winning as consistently as we want in the pass rush, so we were having to insert our linebackers a little bit more. And then it's that slippery slope of, how much do you pressure versus are you getting home? Are you still disrupting? So pressure doesn't always need to be sacks, but are you disrupting their passing game enough? And I think that's where the defensive coaches, on that series chose to do more coverage. And again, I'm sure we're always going to look back and be able to evaluate and scrutinize certain things. But at the end of the day, they trusted our coverage and thought our guys would be able to make those plays, and we missed them. So I think this week, again, it's been a focus. We want to keep contained and keep cage of the quarterback, but we still have to be able to do it with intentions of still collapsing the pocket.
We talked coming into the game last week about their defensive look with what they called the Rover, number 11 C.J. Shoemaker, and he was just all over the field, and you really didn't have an answer for getting him identified and taking him out of plays.
No, and the sad part is they did exactly what we had planned for. That's where you got to tip your hat off. Sometimes you played some teams that are better. Their front is by far going to be the best front I think we're going to play all year long. You know, sixth year senior, fifth year senior, another fourth year senior, and then they rotate a couple guys through. Their front seven, they have experience, they have strength, they have speed. So part of it was our execution, but we also got to acknowledge they were a pretty good front. You know, the fact that we didn't take any sacks was a good thing. Really, in the run game, the negative plays that we took were actually on our end more than them. And then I think what happened was by forcing their safeties to get involved in the run game allowed us the coverages we needed to throw it to. So, you know, looking back on it, there's not much I would do differently other than the execution early on. And I think the ability for us to couple of our screens and a couple of our perimeter throws should have been better. Like we had a couple of drops on some things that would have executed on third down. But, you know, I think, tip my hat off, I think they're a really good defense. And I knew that going in. That wasn't going to be a 42-41 type of game. We did what we needed to do to get the two-possession lead, although a little bit later than I wanted it to get to the two-possession lead. That being said, we didn't finish and then close. And it's not. It wasn't the defense's fault. It wasn't the offense's fault. That's all three phases had opportunities, from the special team negative play to a couple plays on offense where we could have, you know, executed and done much better to not give the ball back to the RPI on that last drive. And then ultimately our defense, who played well up through the game, didn't on the last two possessions. And, you know, so lots to learn from, and I think that's been the focus of our guys is – you know, it's so what, now what? You know, it's we can't take that back. We got to learn and grow from it. And the reality is, you know, with only 15 seniors right now, we're still a young team in the big picture of it. We got to learn to do the things we've been coached to do and now go out and execute in those situations to close out wins.
On the last drive, they took a little bit of a calculated risk not stopping the clock. They trusted that their offense could punch it in, and they executed it brilliantly. I mean, they scored and just didn't leave you enough time.
It was and I had thought, I mean, it was kind of going back and forth, do we use our timeouts, do we not? And again, I put the trust in our defense to say our best chance to win that game was going to be a defensive stop. So we at one point we used a timeout to help the defense. And again, I think, you know, You choose that wisely. You know, if you stop the clock, are you helping them in those situations? But yeah, scoring with 24 seconds left, and actually, I mean, offensively, we were able to get a couple plays to at least give us a chance. Had we had one more completion, we were going to try to take a long field goal to see if we could tie it. Just unfortunately, with the win, we were out of field goal range at that point. But yeah, it was a tough one to swallow. I mean, because at the end of the day, we knew it was going to be two good teams at it. But I think our guys felt like, even the entire body of work, that we had done enough to win the game, but we didn't. You know, we played well enough to win it. We also played, you know, made enough mistakes to allow them to be right there in it. And the reality is, they're undefeated in the conference, and RPI thinks they can go win the conference. So, you know, what really comes to us is that our league, we know that there's going to be great parity across the board. You know, last year we won those couple close games. You know, and well, I shouldn't say all of them. We lost a couple of close games, but we've been there before where we've won the close games. We've been there where we lost the close games, and unfortunately, just the timing of it. You know, if we had a little bit more time on the clock, you know, woulda, shoulda, couldas, maybe we could have. So maybe if I had used a timeout there, but I also felt like I had confidence in our defense and defensive staff that we were going to get a stop, and unfortunately, it didn't happen.
And then on the last play, we weren't sure right away, but that pass was actually completed. It was into the wind. There, he just didn't have enough arm to cut that wind and reach the end zone, but that pass was actually completed at the 7-yard line to end the game.
Yeah, they gave him the completion. It was close, and it was just one of those things where, you know, they, you know, I look back at the two plays we had before, and if we can convert it and potentially get just a little bit closer to give Toby and our field goal chance to go, you're going to have a higher likelihood to make that field goal than maybe that long pass. But, yeah, it was, you know, I'm glad our guys were fighting to the end. It's just we fell a couple yards short and a couple seconds out of the from having a chance to keep the offense on the field. But, you know, I think that ultimately came down to the choice of not using the timeouts there to hopefully get our defensive stop that unfortunately didn't leave us enough time to, you know, necessarily reciprocate back down the field.
In St. Lawrence, you have a team that's been struggling defensively. Their two league games, they've given up over 40 points, but typically they've given you some good games over the years, and I think that's one of the better home crowd atmospheres when you go up to their place. Normally, we go up there and it's freezing cold. It's going to be nice, I guess, this week, but it's not an easy place to get a win.
No, it's not, and I always say, like, you know, the projection is that it's warm weather, but we've been up there before. There's been snow in October, and all of a sudden it melts by game time, so you never know what you're going to get up there. But yeah, they've also played two strong teams, and I look at it, they played Ithaca really tough in the first half. You know, it was a 9-0 game at halftime, and then, you know, Ithaca pulled away a little bit in the second half, and then they opened up with Union, same situation. It was a 7-7 game, you know, early in the second quarter, and then they pulled away. So I think defensively, that's probably where they've made the biggest jump, actually. I think their defense last year played us really, really well. You know, that was a game we had to come from behind right at the end to win last year. So, you know, I've made it very clear to our guys that they're going to play tough up there. You know, you're playing on the grass. We don't play on many grass. That'll be the only grass team that will play during the regular season this year. And just the fact it's a different environment going up there and playing. It's usually very, very windy. You know, the crosswind is typically there. Remember the last time we went up there in 2018, it was one of the windiest games I've ever been a part of, like where we actually chose to take the win both possessions instead of the ball just because it was that much of a factor. So I think that their offense is trying to find their way a little bit. So maybe their offense isn't scoring points, but their defense, if you watch it, is actually playing pretty well. Yeah, minus the giving up some points, part of that is some defensive takeaways that have put them in some short fields. But I thought especially against Ithaca last week, they played really, really well in the first half.
Their quarterback, Daniel Lawther, we talked about, he's a good running threat, and he's got fairly similar numbers to David Cruz and not quite as good a touchdown-interception ratio, but he's a guy that you're going to have to watch and prevent from making big plays.
Yeah, he's a young man here from the Rochester area that we had talked to during the recruiting process, so I have a lot of respect for him and his family, and he's come in and did well there. He jumped in early in our game last year, and that was essentially kind of his coming out party. You know, the starter had gotten injured, and he came in and performed very well and almost earned the win against us. We ended up coming back and scoring late to win it. But after that, and then last season, he finished the season strong and put up some good stats. And as a young guy, was you know, voted as a leader for their team and has performed really well. So he has the combination of being able to both run and throw. Obviously, they want to throw first. They're typically more of a spread offense. They have made a more concerted effort to run the ball this year. You know, I'm using some tight ends and some different things. They used to be all spread with the receivers. Now they are using some tight ends, some one and two tight end sets. So I thought that was actually one of the things they did last year against us that was a little different than we intended. It was they actually tried to run the ball a little bit more. But again, I expect them to be They're usually well coached, and they're going to be in the right spots, and this is going to be a game that comes down to execution. And I think that's the biggest thing for where we're at right now as an offense and defense is we've had the guys in the right spots to make some plays, and we haven't as consistently as we've done in the past made those plays. So our focus this week, as we do prepare for St. Lawrence and some of the things they're doing on all three phases, is really putting the onus back on us of just figuring out how do we get our guys to play fast and physical and confident like always, but can we execute when the plays are there? And, you know, that's the case from since day one in preseason, but that's kind of where we're at right now is that we would be sitting in a different situation if we had executed a better situation in most of these games so far.
Were you here when Will McCool kicked the winning field goal there?
That was my last year as a coordinator before I left. An exciting game. That's why I say we've had some really good games up there, and, you know, we raised our hands on Sunday of how many guys have played at St. Lawrence, and it's really only our fifth-year seniors. So when you That's think right. about it, you know, because of the COVID year and just the fact that it was back in 2018 was the last time we played there. So I think we only had like 7 or 8 guys who've actually played at St. Lawrence. So so it'll be an interesting opportunity for a lot of these guys to go up there and play in a place they haven't played before, and we expect it to be a pretty good crowd. And I know they're going to be fired up and excited to play us. You know, we're coming in, and I think people think we're vulnerable right now as a team just because we're maybe not quite where we have been in the past. But I reminded our guys pretty quickly on Sunday, we're still a very good team. We're just not playing as consistently as we need to. So the word consistency, that comes up in, unfortunately, how we're handling a lot of things right now. The more consistent we are, the better we're going to be. And I think our guys are hungry for the opportunity to go out and compete.
All right, good luck bouncing back on Saturday. Like you say, it's a great atmosphere. It should be a good game.
All right, thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.
That's Kevin DeWall, head coach of the Statesman. You can find this Hobart Football Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can find it at your home for all athletics news for the colleges. That's hwsathletics.com. Until Saturday, have a great football week.